Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic live today at Hermitage Golf Course for the Stars Golf Tournament. You can learn more about Stars at starsnashville.org. O-R-G. We'll tell you a little bit more about that as the midday show will be here too. One Erin Donick, the better half of Willie Donick, is running around like crazy, as she always does at these events.
Sorry, but Willie. We love Erin.
I mean, Erin's the best, and Willie knows that everybody loves Erin more than him, and he accepts it, and that's fine. But so we'll chat with her maybe here in a little bit, see if we can get her on the radio and talk about her husband. That's actually entertaining to hear those stories. But talking NFL draft as it is finally here on Thursday, and – you know, I get going on the mocks like I have been for the last few months, but I like it when somebody sits down and does like the full thing, which is really hard to do. Matt Miller for ESPN did his 7-round mock draft. Now he does specify when he's, you know, kind of talking about it at the beginning. He specifies that there's not trades except for one. He did include an Aaron Rodgers trade in this, but.
Time is ticking on that one.
Yeah, so the Titans are – and, you know, one thing that I didn't bring up with the Tannehill conversation, and you've brought this up too, is if this whole Rodgers thing falls through, could the Jets be the one that swoops in and go, okay, well, if Green Bay is going to drag their feet, then maybe we get Tannehill.
And if they figure out too that Aaron's not looking to play for, you know, more than one season, I mean, that's going to play a role too. If they somehow can't come up with a deal and the Packers are digging their feet in and they want to get two first-round picks.
Right. So he does not have trades outside of that in this draft. So Matt Miller, I'm going to give you the first few to kind of set the tone here. So he does have Bryce Young going number one overall to the Carolina Panthers, which I believe that is what everybody thinks is going to be the case, that Frank Reich is going to draft quarterback. Mm-hmm. And after Carolina traded with Chicago to move up to number one overall, Bryce Young will be their quarterback of their future. The question then is Houston at number two. Is that where C.J. Stroud goes? According to Matt Miller, the answer is no. They go Will Anderson.
Okay.
Second overall,
they
according to him.
They stay there.
Yeah.
That's
so
interesting.
Well, again, he doesn't have trade.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I think if that's the case, they trade out. But – he says, when filling out a mock draft, you try and balance intel with logic. The intel surrounding this pick says the Texans will select Anderson. In fact, one team source told me the only player the Texans met with twice during the pre-draft process was the Alabama edge rusher. But the current quarterback depth chart features Davis Mills and Case Keenum, and you would think the Texans would be all in on the most important position in sports. Ohio State C.J. Stroud was arguably the best quarterback in college football in the past two seasons and operates beautifully from the pocket. But again, mocks are based on what we're hearing and not what we would do if we were making the picks ourselves. If the Panthers don't take Young, I expect Houston would go quarterback. Otherwise, Anderson would be an immediate help on the defensive on defense looking for playmakers off the edge. That's what he says.
So I understand there's no trades in here, but, you know, I've seen a bunch of stuff. You know, Will Anderson, we know the type of player he is, and I would say, you know, when you look at best
players. That wouldn't be a bad pick.
No, when you look at best players in this draft, Will Anderson is right up there, but unfortunately, you know, the best player, a lot of times quarterbacks will trump it because they play the quarterback position.
Right.
And you know, the question mark on, okay, could we mold this guy to be our next franchise guy? The role is so important. So even if, you know, Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, right, they are some of the best players in this draft, just looking at any position, quarterback will often trump it.
Well, so, and he has Arizona taking Tyree Wilson, the defensive end from Texas Tech. So I look at it like this, and again, this doesn't have trades, but what I think could happen, if that is the thinking by both teams, if you're Houston, you could trade back with Indy and get a ransom because that's an in-division opponent. So get a ransom just to move back two spots so they can go get Stroud or go get a quarterback. And then Arizona's likely to trade out of three. So if you're Houston, you could still probably end up with Anderson or Wilson by picking at four.
Yeah, and you know, I've brought up that before, and people say, well, they're in division. Well, if Houston knows that the only quarterback if Houston knows the only quarterback that they want is Bryce Young and he's not on the board, I don't think they really care if they personally don't like any of the quarterbacks. They're like, okay, Colts, you can go ahead and take them. We don't think any of these guys are our guy. And the Colts will give you an arm and a leg to move up to two to ensure that they get their quarterback, which is something that they've been trying to find for the last 5-6 seasons ever since Andrew Luck left.
Sure.
Right? You know that they're very desperate to get their quarterback in this draft. I mean, even if it's not the Colts, and even if the Colts, you know, they stay at four and they maybe try to make a trade with Arizona. I mean, the Raiders are at seven. There are a lot of teams that are in that top eight range who are looking for quarterbacks.
Yeah. And so that's why I think this is so interesting. Okay, so he has Tyree Wilson, third overall. Stroud goes to Indy, fourth overall.
Okay.
In his mock draft, which if everything falls that way, that would, you know, probably make sense.
It.
Seattle picking fifth overall, they go Jalen Carter. The Detroit Lions get Devin Witherspoon, the cornerback from Illinois. The third quarterback to go is seventh overall, Anthony Richardson to the Raiders.
Sit behind Jimmy G for a year or so, and
I think that could be a
and
really,
learn
really
under
good.
McDaniels.
Yep, I think that could be good.
Plus, they have a solid roster on the offensive end.
The Falcons, which I want to bring something up with you. With the Falcons.
I know what you want to bring
in a second. Nolan Smith, outside linebacker from Georgia.
Oh, Rexrod will love that pick. He loves him.
The Bears, ninth overall, Lucas Van Ness from Iowa.
Okay.
And then 10th overall, the Philadelphia Eagles go Christian Gonzalez, cornerback from Oregon.
Okay.
Now the two-tone blue.
I won't even look.
According to this mock draft, seven-round mock draft by Matt Miller of ESPN.
Tell me the position and I'll guess. I'm not looking.
I'm not going to tell you the position because it'll
Will
be too
Levis.
Easy. Yes. The Titans select quarterback Will Levis from Kentucky. This is what he writes about that. The Titans have done homework on the top five quarterbacks in preparation for life after Ryan Tannehill and are an ideal situation to draft and develop a passer. Levis would be a fantastic play for Tennessee given his arm strength, mobility, and toughness in the pocket. Why the slide for Levis? There are concerns among NFL scouts about his age, which is 24, and that his style of play will lead to injuries in the NFL, much like Carson Wentz, given both players penchants for staying in the pocket and absorbing hits from pass rushers. Levis is seen as NFL-ready. Former offensive coordinator Liam Cohen has been vocal in his belief in Levis as a franchise quarterback, but he'll have to speed up his process in the NFL and cut down on the 23 interceptions he threw over the past 2 years. So that's what he says about Will Levis going 11th overall to the Titans.
Yeah. I mean, all of his, you know, the pros and the cons, those are the things that we've been talking about. Pros, he's a really tough guy. He's big body. He's got a great arm. He can make some really impressive throws out there. Cons, you know, some of the decision-making towards the end of the season last year and some of the games, not the best decision-making. Accuracy, things like that. You know, you worry about him with the football. And, you know, you weigh the, was it the team? Was it him? Should he have been able to rise and make his team better around him? Right? Those are all the pros and cons we've been talking about him. I mean, I know the fan base would freak out. But
yeah.
If you keep Ryan Tannehill and he sits behind him for a year, I mean, I actually really, really like that because then it's up to Charles London and Tim Kelly. Can you develop this guy?
Right.
Can you make him better? And then can you also add pieces once you get off of a Ryan Tannehill and maybe you get off of a Derrick Henry? You know, we're talking 2 years out now. What does that team look like?
Exactly. We will get to more of that coming up next, but real quick, Jackson Smith and Jigba goes to Houston 12th overall. Okay. And then the two tackles that we've talked about, Paris Johnson goes to the Jets 13th, Peter Skorinski to the Patriots at 14th.
Okay.
So that's kind of interesting there. We'll continue this discussion on Matt Miller's mock draft from ESPN. The second round pick for the Titans, I think would get people's attention, but I don't know if it's in a good way or a bad way. We will discuss that here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic at Hermitage Golf Course. Jonathan Hutton from Outkick will join us in about 15 minutes, get his thoughts on everything Titans as it is draft week here in the NFL. Cannot wait for that. Looking at Matt Miller's seven-round mock draft. Just to wrap up the first round, a couple of other notables that stand out. Tennessee fans wondering Darnell Wright, an offensive tackle. He has him going 17th overall to Pittsburgh. I like Darnell Wright, so our man Junie Riddle, and I don't know how he would feel about that, but get some offensive line help for the Steelers. As you kind of go down here, 21st overall, the Chargers, Bijan Robinson, running back from Texas. I think that would be very interesting in that offense if they were to get him. Baltimore, Zay Flowers, wide receiver from Boston College. As they're adding help to keep Lamar happy if they get him. 23rd overall, the Minnesota Vikings select quarterback, Hendon Hooker
from
Tennessee. I've seen Hendon to the Vikings in several mock drafts.
Yeah, I've seen that too, and I love that position for him because, first off, you know, you have a young Justin Jefferson who's going to be a part of your franchise moving forward. You know, you're learning under a guy, Kirk Cousins. I know we knock Kirk for some of the playoff performances, but, you know, as far as a regular season efficient quarterback, he is. He had a pretty great season last year with the Vikings. Obviously, they didn't do as much as they wanted to, but they won the division. They were a playoff team. You have Justin Jefferson. You have Dalvin Cook. Is he still? Yeah, he's still on the team. And, you know, it's a good roster, Hendon Hooker. I know he's 25 and people knock on him for the age, but you get that fifth-year option in the first round for him. He can learn. He can sit. He has no rush to get out there and play right away. I really like that for him.
Quentin Johnson to Buffalo, 27th overall,
Which is interesting. To Buffalo. Ooh,
I like
that's
that.
Interesting.
And then how
like
about
that.
This? Kansas City, Jordan Addison, wide receiver from USC, 31st overall.
Yeah, I really like that.
I don't know if he's there. Yeah, that's interesting, though.
That's pretty late. I agree. But, I mean.
Now the second round, 35th overall. Titans fans would not like this if you're also a Vols fan. Colts select Jalin Hyatt, wide receiver from Tennessee, 35th overall.
Hey, at least you know you get to see him once a year.
Yep.
Here.
He's got Josh Downs going to Seattle, 37th overall. The wide receiver there, Cedric Tillman, 39th overall to Carolina. And 41st overall, the Tennessee Titans select wide receiver Jonathan Mingo from Ole Miss. Now, I heard Nick Suss talk about him this morning on Robbie and Rex Road, and Nick covered Ole Miss for a long time, now covers the Titans for the Tennessee. And basically, in a nutshell, said he was raw. There was going to be a transition going from college football to the NFL. He saw him his freshman year at Ole Miss. There was a transition there.
Yeah.
He also said, I want to temper everybody's expectations. He's not A.J. Brown. Maybe there's the skill set is similar, but he's not him, not yet. Matt Miller says, if the Titans are upset about losing A.J. Brown during the 2022 NFL draft, a potential replacement can be found at his alma mater. Mingo is another 6'2", 220-pound pass catcher from Ole Miss who beats up underneath coverage and runs through tackles in space. He had a breakout season in 2022 with 51 catches and 5 touchdowns. He had a combine performance in which he ran a 4.46 40 and jumped 39.5 inches in the vertical to really start a draft rise. I wouldn't hate the pick. There are some receivers that went before him, Downs, Hyatt, Tillman, that I would probably prefer over Mingo. But if that's the receiver they got, like, I think that's something they can work with. But I think he's going to be a project. He's going to be raw.
Yeah, and that was exactly what Nick Suss said this morning. And I take his word for it because, as you mentioned, works for the Tennessee and now covering the Titans, but formerly worked covering Ole Miss specifically. You know, you saw him. You saw that Ole Miss team. They were, I mean, at one point in the season, they were – pretty high up in the SEC, right? I mean, I know Tennessee, Georgia, and Alabama, they were on a different level, but Ole Miss was, they were right there, and with not the oldest team, they're a pretty young team out there with a younger quarterback. But I mean, if you can just get a wide receiver and know that, okay, they're not going to be an A.J. Brown, but you feel confident that Treylon Burks will be able to step up and be that number one wide receiver, and then whoever you get can play opposite him, I think that that's what you're looking for. I thought Zach Lyons had a really good point of, you know, a lot of times we see these wide receivers in college, but based off of their stature, they have to be a slot guy in the NFL. And I think, you know, that's kind of the last thing you want right now. You don't want to have a guy who could only play one position. You want a wide receiver who can do it all. You know, I mentioned a Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, but you need a high-level draft pick who can do all of that, who can play every, you know, wide receiver position and also special teams for you, but then also not need him to. But if he has to play special teams for you, you already have that slot guy in Kyle Phillips, and you've seen how his size can hurt him and, you know, impact an entire season.
I'll tell you the guy I like, though. Like, if everything plays out the way that Matt Miller says in his mock draft, and, again, I don't hate Jonathan Mingo, but – if you're there at 41, there's a guy I like better than Mingo that you could move back a few spots and get more draft capital, and that's Tyler Scott, the receiver out of Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. I really like him. In TD and I talked about him about a month ago, and he sold me on him too. But he has him going 45th overall to Green Bay. I think that's a guy that, you know, this is the thing with this receiver class. It's not top-heavy like we've seen in years past, mm-hmm. but in the, you know, the second – and third round, you can probably find a guy that could really fit your mold and be a good receiver for years to come. Maybe not, you know, a shutdown number or a, you know, a true number one, but.
But you need depth at that room right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I mean, they need to find, like, if they think Treylon Burks is their number one, they need to find a true number two.
And three.
And a three.
And potentially a four. You know what I mean?
Not one. Not two. Not three.
And I agree with you, Chase. If you believe that he can be your number one, okay, well, he needs help, because he's your only offensive threat out there other than a Derrick Henry. I mean, that's a problem. He's not going to be able to make – I mean, he'll be able to make some plays out there, but, you know, you need to get depth at that room, and especially since we've seen, you know, wide receivers with hamstring issues. I'm not saying anything. I'm not drinking anything, but it's a real thing. They're playing – you know, physical sport day in and day out. You need depth at that position and guys who you can count on to go out there and can be somewhat productive for you. No, they don't need to be an elite level number one wide receiver, but they need to be able to make a significant impact when they are on the field. And I think building depth at that position, Chase, you mentioned, there's more wide receivers kind of in the middle of this draft, that second and third round. I understand what you're saying of, you know, bank on moving back, but I think, you know, it's easy to kind of sit here and say, well, you just move back out of the first round and then you can collect draft capital, which is great. But if you want to move back and get Hendon Hooker, you got to hope that somebody else isn't like, you know what, we're going to take him at 15.
But that's why you have more than one guy that you want.
Exactly.
You have different draft scenarios and different draft boards of like, okay, if we were to move back to 22, okay, if Hendon's there, yeah, we'll take him. But if he's not, maybe you go ahead and grab a receiver. I mean, that's where you could get the, you know, the Quentin Johnsons and, you know, guys like that. So, did I just combine names?
I'm laughing at a video because, you know, during draft season, they do the overreactions, the fan videos of overreactions when their team drafts somebody.
Yeah.
And this is essentially something. 3 years ago today, Philadelphia Eagles drafted their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, and it's an Eagles fan videoing himself going absolutely insane that they drafted him.
You know what's funny? Eagles fans have lost their mind twice now over quarterbacks, and I know one of them worked out pretty good for him in Donovan McNabb.
Oh, yeah, pretty good.
and then Jalen Hurts gets him to the Super Bowl. Both got them to a Super Bowl. They haven't won it yet.
Third year?
Yeah, in his third year. So real quick, and then I want to bring up Atlanta. He has the Titans selecting Byron Young from Tennessee with their third-round pick. I wouldn't hate that either.
I wouldn't hate either.
Add to the pass rush, which they need to do. They need to address that.
You always need to add. I mean, I personally believe like that's a position you can't have enough of it.
Yeah. So, real quick, he says there's no denying that the Titans need another pass rusher, and the speedy Young could be a great fit opposite of Harold Landry. The 250-pound Young ran an eye-opening 4.43 40 and jumped 11 feet in the broad, both among the best ever for a DN. So. That could be very interesting. All right, now, real quick, Atlanta. When we were talking about Ryan Tannehill, I saw you tweet this over the weekend, mm-hmm. that you feel Ryan Tannehill could potentially be a fit for Atlanta because you don't think Desmond Ridder is going to be the starter.
Okay, so I think that tweet got a little bit blown out of proportion. what I said is, you know, looking at the at all of the teams right now, a lot of people either, you know, are high on the draft and probably will draft a quarterback. A lot of it is unknown still. But looking at situations where I could see him fit because there are so few teams. So once the trade information came out, there are so few teams where we see
they need a one-year quarterback.
He could fit. I look at, you know, if Aaron Rodgers' situation doesn't work out, we've talked about the Jets. Okay, situation. I actually looked at, you know, could the Commanders be an option? You know, they have a pretty solid roster. Terry McLaurin, they just haven't. Taylor Heineke, they were able to be a 500 team with him last year. You know, could a guy like Ryan Tannehill put him over the edge? Sam Howell? No. Sam Howell?
I have no idea.
So I think it might be him.
All right, let's.
I think I'm right.
You could be. I think you're right.
Ding, ding, ding.
Sam Howell.
You know, and I originally said, you know, the Falcons situation. I understand, you know, they said no to Lamar Jackson. They said Desmond Ridder's our guy. But I just look at the situation as a whole right now. I'm not saying Desmond Ridder can't be your guy, but, you know, got thrown in there last year after Mariota got hurt and he took the starting job. He did fine, but he still was a third round pick.
They signed Jacoby Brissett too.
Yeah, okay. You know, Arthur Smith, he has to start winning.
Sure.
He's been there a couple of years now, and I get it that they're not in a competitive division, but, you know, if you're him, what is – I mean, sit Ridder another year.
Yeah.
Get him more experience.
I think bet
on actually – you could win the division.
Yeah, it's
a bad division. It's a bad division, and I'm not taking anything away from Desmond Ridder or saying he's not the answer, but it's not like you drafted him – third overall or second overall. A lot of the quarterbacks last year were question marks anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, he only went a couple picks above Malik Willis.
Yeah, I think Desmond Ridder can be an NFL quarterback, whether that's a starter or a backup, I think is yet to be seen. I hear what you're saying because Arthur Smith does need to win, and he knows what he can do with Tannehill. That's an instant plug and play. And he knows
and
he can make that
cap
work.
Space.
Yeah, and they have the space to do it.
They're a team where they could afford to do it.
If they feel like they're out on Lamar, I could see that.
Yeah, and that was the situation. You know, I wasn't trying to knock Desmond Ridder and say, oh yeah, no, like he's not going to be the starter. But it's one of those situations where it's like, okay, yeah, you can believe that Desmond Ridder is your guy, but I think it's to the point of us talking. I know you don't want a guy to sit forever, but you know, you get a guy like Ryan Tannehill. You can guarantee you will be very competitive in that division, I personally believe.
We'll talk to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. We'll do that coming up. This week's Nashville Best Deal is Bite a Bit in the heart of East Nashville. Get half off a $30 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Bite a Bit features all the best Thai food, sushi, and cocktails that you will love. Check them out at biteabitthaisushi.com. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, live at Hermitage Golf Course with you for the Stars Annual Golf Tournament. More info at starsnashville.org. Every Monday at 10:30, we say hello to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. But first, I want to give something away because I'm in a giving mood. Michelle's in a giving mood.
Yeah, it's a Monday.
Hutton is in a giving mood. So that is what we're going to do as soon as I pull this up. Caller number three right now, 615-737-1025, will win a four-pack of tickets to the Monster Energy AMA Supercross Championship at Nissan Stadium this Saturday. Caller number three, 615-737-1025. Hutton, what's up, my friend? How are you?
It is draft week. Hello, Michelle. Hello, Chase.
Finally. Hello.
Finally, it's
Stars. Stars is a great organization, by the way, so thank you guys for supporting that.
Yeah, and look, you have known Willie Donick and worked with Willie Donick for a long time, and so because of that, I think you probably know Aaron Donick, who is certainly the better half.
Absolutely. Yes.
of the Donick household. She's running around like crazy because she's a ball of energy, but such a tremendous organization, and we're glad to be a part of it and be aligned with them.
Yeah, and they've done great work in the community for years. I mean, Willie and I worked together in the same building, man, it's like 15 years ago now, it feels like. So, yeah, Aaron's been hustling and bustling for a long time.
So we've spent all this time talking about quarterbacks, and do they trade Tannehill, or do they trade Henry, and do they draft this quarterback, and honestly, like, I think we all agree there are other things they have to address this week. And yeah. a player that Matt Miller brought up in his 7-round mock draft in the 3rd round for the Titans was one that got my attention, probably because, you know, I've seen him play, that he played in the SEC, he played just down the road in Knoxville. But what would you think about Byron Young, 72nd overall to the Titans out of Tennessee?
Byron Young is a great example, Chase, to me, of a player who's going to play above his college ceiling. He's fast. He's explosive off the edge. He is relentless with his effort. And I think that serves him well at the NFL more than it did at Tennessee, because I think he's going to end up playing less snaps, more of a package player, sub-package player, very narrowed focus. And with the rotations that we're seeing now for edge rushers, I think that's a great spot for him to be in, a third rounder who has a chance to make some money in contract number 2 based on the right system and the right fit. So while it can certainly be here in Tennessee, I'm all for it because of what I've just said about the guy. I think regardless of where he goes, he is one of those quote-unquote sleepers. I don't know how you want to define that. But a sleeper for me would be no one's talking about him and all of a sudden he flashes and you're like, man, where'd this guy come from? We didn't see this in college. I think the reasons why or his skill set fits the NFL mold really well.
So as we sit here today and Thursday night is the 1st round, what is more likely scenario in your mind? They pick at 11, they trade up, or they trade back?
I think they pick at 11 right now, to me. And I think the draft is – I think a lot of – many of the good teams allow the draft to fall to them, except for when it comes to being aggressive for quarterbacks. I understand if you're in love with one of the quarterbacks, you've got to make a move and go get them. I'm speaking just from where I sit. I don't think this is a quarterback class to go chasing quarterbacks. I think there are good quarterbacks, maybe 2 great quarterbacks, and the ones we're talking about need a year. Hendon Hooker and Richardson for me need a year. I'm not drafting Will Levis. Sorry, Michelle. And you know, CJ Stroud to me is CJ Stroud to me is a much better version of any of the 3 I've just mentioned. And Bryce Young is likely going number 1 overall. So, yeah, I'm not chasing this group the way it seems like many teams or many analysts, many media members are trying to make it out to be. And I think the majority, the sense I get, Chase, is the majority of teams really like this top 100 consensus, top 100 players. And there seem to be 17, 18 players that are first-rounders, quote-unquote. I know there will be 31 first-round picks, but every draft board's different. But, you know, Dane Brugler said, yeah, probably 17 or 18 on average. Well, if that's the case, that's a low-end year for true first-round grades, which means you want to be in that second group where everyone's kind of bunched together. I think more value's there than it is up top in the draft, and for that, you would rather trade back. I just think it's going to be tough to find trade partners unless it's for quarterback.
So real quick, you talk to John McClain every week on Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow from Outkick. And we hear all this noise with Houston right now that, you know, maybe they don't like Stroud. And then, you know, the S2 testing was bad. And Jared's got this conspiracy theory that he doesn't want to go to Houston and because of the same agent as Deshaun Watson. And so he tanked the test so Houston wouldn't take him. There's all this stuff. What does McClain and what do you think is ultimately going to happen with Houston with them currently picking at 2 and 12?
I think they've got to take the quarterback at 2. They won 11 games of the last 3 years combined, and one of those 3 years was with Watson. So I mean, if they want to continue to suck, I mean, have at it. They're not going to get out of this rut unless they find their quarterback of the future. And I'm not. So going back to your question about John. John has changed his tone on the CJ Stroud to Houston concept because a month or so, it was Bryce Young to Houston because CJ Stroud was going number 1 overall. Then it flipped. And then I asked him the week it flipped, hey, if Bryce Young's number one overall, Houston does what? And he said, they draft C.J. Stroud. Well, a week or two later, he said that, hey, I don't really know what they're going to do because it does seem they have soured on C.J. Stroud. And I asked him why, and he said, I don't know, and if anyone's acting like they do know, they don't. And I translate that to mean if McClain doesn't know, who's covered the league for five decades and knows that organization very well, then anyone pretending to know is just kind of repeating whatever the agent wants out there. And again, my perception on that. But in this league, no one just sits back and waits on a quarterback. And in a scenario like McClain threw out there where you draft defense at two, Will Anderson, potentially, and you get a quarterback at 12, even if it's Hendon Hooker at 12, in the NFL, I'm not sitting and waiting on all of those picks to go by thinking that a quarterback that I love is going to remain on the board. I have to take him. So in that respect, I have to take the quarterback at two, and I take the highest graded quarterback on my board. And for me, that would be C.J. Stroud.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike joins us right now. Jonathan, you know, all this stuff came out on Friday with C.J. Stroud and the S2 testing and his score. Yeah. How much, you know, weight do you put into that? Do you think that that could have been something that, you know, Houston knew before it leaked to the media and things like that? And what do you think about the S2 testing?
Well, Haner was somewhere up here on this list. No one's mentioning his high score. You know, that's what I think about the S2 testing. There are quarterbacks that no one's talked about that had a high score on this that, you know, no one's mentioning. Like, oh, his stock's really rising because of this S2 score. Had Ryan Leaf on the show Friday. Ryan Leaf, I asked him about this. Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning took the Wonderlic side by side at the combine together, and they looked at each other and said, what the hell are we doing? And then they ended up with the same exact score on the Wonderlic. Now, consider where one player is and where the other player is. One player has a gold jacket. The other one's considered the top bust, and they had the same Wonderlic score. Yeah, I allow it to be a factor. Yeah, it's not much of one, though, because ultimately it's about system fit and investment in what you're going to do around them. Are they going to, when they draft C.J. Stroud, is it going to take 3 years to put players around them the way Chicago has waited to put players around Justin Fields? Or is it going to be, Joe Burrow, we're going to pair you with your favorite college receiver? It depends on where these guys go and how much they're allowed to flourish under the system they're drafted in.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike joins us. Jonathan, Tennessee Titans will have a press conference today just ahead of the draft coming up on Thursday, the first round. What is something that you want to hear from Rand Carthon or Mike Vrabel ahead of the draft coming up this week?
Don't parse words when it comes to whether or not they're in with Ryan Tannehill. I don't think we'll hear that. I think they'll continue to give us, you know, an answer that will allow anyone, including me, to think, yeah, they could do really anything. And that's what they want. You can get a direction, though, and a feel of how they've been working together, the process, the first true process of the Carthon era, and going into it at 11, how aggressive he may or may not want to be given the circumstances of what they have to go and find. We know they've got to find speed at receiver. They've got 6 picks currently. They'd love to have more. You don't get more by trading up, but you also don't get the quarterback that you love by sitting at 11. So he's not going to tip his hand there, but you know he's also said, hey, we're going to evaluate the position the last time he was asked about Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. And since then, we know he has a massive cap hit. We know that he said that it's a rumor only about Byard and what they've asked him to do with the pay cut, but rumors continue to swirl there. I just find them very unpredictable. And I think every answer that we'll hear later today will be around that same concept and that same tone, unpredictable as they go into Thursday's first round and throughout the weekend, because I'm curious to see how aggressive he'll be based on what we've seen from San Francisco, an organization that was very aggressive when it came to moving up and going to getting the quarterback of the future, even though they had a veteran on the roster.
Well, it is going to be wild. I think we're going to get some surprises this year in the first round and probably beyond that. We'll see if the Aaron Rodgers thing happens too. But, Hutt, appreciate it. And next time we talk, we'll have draft picks to talk
about.
Yeah. And here's hoping it's not an offensive line breakdown, guys.
I know. Yeah, hopefully not. Hey, appreciate it as always. We'll do it next week.
Yeah, have a great day. Have a great week. See
you. You too. Jonathan Hutton, Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow every day from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan, and he joins us every Monday at 10:30. We've talked a lot of draft today. We'll, coming up next, kind of look at the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, what we're watching tonight. We'll do that here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Hey, be sure to join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura and benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th, right here where we are today at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. Sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. We're putting a really cool thing together for as we did last year, so looking forward to that. We're here today for the Stars Golf Tournament. Visit starsnashville.org for more information on that, as Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace will be here in a few minutes taking over for us. But a lot of draft talk today, but the playoffs for both the NBA and the NHL, I think, have been compelling. They've been fun. Like Saturday, I basically ran some errands during the day so I could be home that night to just watch games. I had three screens going. I had Grizzlies Lakers on one. I had the hockey games, whether it was
Bolts in Toronto was good.
Yeah, Toronto and Tampa Bay, they're all running together. So Friday night I watched Dallas and Minnesota, which was fun.
Friday, yeah.
And then last night I watched Dallas and Minnesota. So that's tied up at two. But then Edmonton and the Lakers, or Lakers, the Kings,
have been fun. I'm a little worried for a second with Edmonton.
I know. Well, Edmonton was down 3-0, and then they come back and they win 5-4. I thought Anson Carter said it best last night on TNT. He said, "I feel like I watched four hockey games, only one. I watched a domination by the LA Kings. I watched a comeback by the Edmonton Oilers in the second period. I watched an even hockey game in the third period, and then overtime hockey, you know, obviously with the fourth period, and Edmonton ends up winning it."
I mean, we had, like, there were some great hockey games. I was in Tampa this weekend, so I got to
watch that one. Was fun.
The Tampa Bay.
Toronto should not have won that game.
Yeah, that was a whistle in the mouth. Quickly. Yeah,
John Cooper was pissed, and he should have been pissed.
Yeah,
that was not a good call.
I will say, a lot of times we see sometimes a coach or a player, they won't comment. Yeah. And I give him a lot of props for actually saying something post game and making it known, right? They should have been up 4-2, and then they never should have been in the overtime situation.
Yep.
But watching overtime, the Lightning had so many more shots on goal than Toronto did, and then it slips in with less than a minute left in overtime, and it's like, wait, they scored?
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a tough situation.
And then the Rangers and Devils, that's been a fun one too. The Devils were, I think, on life support, and the fact that they ended up winning in overtime Saturday night, they'll play tonight. They need to win tonight at the Garden, but the fact they got it done the other night to at least get on the board gives them some life. But Braden Point is expected to play tonight for the Lightning, that according to John Cooper. So having him back for Tampa, I think, will be big. I like Tampa tonight. I think they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. They're going to be ticked off for greatness.
Oh, they are.
And so I would say Lightning tie it up tonight.
That's I would love that. Listen, I mean, the Lightning in the postseason, I'll take the Lightning over Toronto's history in the postseason.
I think the Rangers do win tonight. I think they take a 3-1 series lead over the Devils. And then the series that I have honestly had a really hard time figuring out has been Vegas and Winnipeg. Because this one has been a lot closer than maybe
I thought
it would be. I think Winnipeg ties it up tonight.
I do too.
I think this is a 2-2 series. And then Colorado and Seattle has been fun.
Surprisingly fun.
Yeah. I think Colorado is starting to flex a little and show who they are. So I take the Avs on the road tonight, even though it would be a cool story for Seattle to get their first home playoff win.
Oh, I mean, it would be awesome. I think, though, from top to bottom, we saw this matchup, and the fact that Seattle even won the first game, it was pretty like, whoa, you know, they beat the big dogs. But I think you're right. I think Colorado, they struggled with their injuries earlier this year and kind of have been, you know, the back half of the season, they really turned it on. And I think they take another one tonight.
In the association, Bucks and Heat, Giannis Antetokounmpo expected to play.
Expected.
That's the rumor. And so I was just looking at the line on Superbook, and the Bucks are a 7-point favorite. When I saw that, I'm like, ooh, they think Giannis is playing.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
So that series is, Heat is up 2-1 right now, correct?
Yes, and it's in Miami.
I think if Giannis plays, I think the Bucks take this one. I think they tie it. The Heat have been more competitive in this series than I would have expected. Obviously, Giannis's injuries don't help, but on the other side, you know, the Heat, Tyler Hero broke his hand or wrist or something in the first game. So
Jimmy Butler's been fun though.
He's always been a really fun player in the postseason. You know, I thought this core group, I thought maybe this would be the last year, and then they'd try to, you know, whether they get off Jimmy or Bam or Tyler Hero or something and try to get, you know, somebody else in there. But this was a year the Heat actually didn't have too much expectations on them, and they're giving the Bucks a little run for their money.
Yeah, they are. So that one, that's the first game up at 6:30 on TNT in Miami. And then the nightcap, game number 4, Grizzlies and Lakers. The Lakers took game 3 in LA, so they're up 2-1. What a wild crowd it was. You know, they were talking about
that
the first
insane.
Time that it's been like that packed in over a decade, and you know, having the fans pack the Staples Center or Crypto.com Arena like that.
Well, because it stinks, because obviously the Lakers just won in the COVID, so they couldn't have experienced it in LA.
Right.
I mean, for every team, but LA specifically, because they won that year.
Yeah. So, and look, LeBron, you know, LeBron and Ja. I mean, that's been a fun matchup. But Anthony Davis, you know, doing his thing.
Yeah.
What is Dylan Brooks going to be tonight? You know, is he going to be
play smart?
Just be humbled.
Like Mike Vrabel always likes to say, don't do dumb bleep to hurt the team, Dylan
right.
Brooks. That's what the message.
Don't piss off LeBron, right, D-Mace? I said this to Nick and Junie, and both Nick's and Junie on Saturday when I walked in after their show. I said, I knew when LeBron did his press conference and he's like, listen, I'm not about the BS. When he said that, I'm like, uh-oh.
He's like, bring him on the court. Bring him on the court, Dylan
like,
Brooks.
When he said that, I'm like, uh-oh.
And also just commend the Lakers broadcast team to do the comparison and say, you are not him.
Yeah.
On the board. I mean, hey, nothing was wrong on there.
No.
Nothing was wrong.
Lakers a 4.5-point favorite tonight. Man, I don't know.
I like Memphis to tie it.
You like Memphis?
I like Memphis to tie it.
Could Ja throw another 45 down?
Hey, listen, he started off slow. He started off slow. More than half those points were in the second half of the game.
That is going to do it for us today here at Hermitage Golf Course. We'll hand things over to Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace as they will take over next and continue the discussion here, including the draft, and it's finally here. All the rumors with the Tennessee Titans. That's up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.